We continue our study in John, the third chapter. We're going to be in verses 8 through 12, Lord willing, this morning. So we want to continue with this important study as to the new birth. You know, there's such a false religion in the world that proclaims itself to be the religion, a holy religion, and yet it is simply the tares. God describes it as the tares. He describes those along the broad way as those who are observing the false religion. But Jesus Christ is telling Nicodemus, ye must be born again. There has to be a transaction between you and God in order for you to see the kingdom of God. And this is what we're taking pains to emphasize this in these lessons, because it is so important to know that you must be born again. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote these inspired words in 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, this was Paul's life ministry, to look on things eternal. This, too, is our pastor's life ministry, to proclaim things eternal. In fact, looking at things eternal is the life ministry of any servant of God. Jesus said, take no thought for things temporal. And yet all of our thoughts, if we're not careful, are about things temporal. But the Lord Jesus Christ speaks truth, for he is truth. And he says, take no thought of things temporal, meaning seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now that's the priority for the child of God. We are to seek first the kingdom of God, taking no thought for things temporal. Now that's relational. In other words, there's great thought about things eternal, very little about these things temporal. But those of the world, those without faith, have only to look on things which are seen. That's all they have to look on. And therefore, they look on things temporal, things which are only connected to time. You know, we're so time-oriented. Well, there will be a time when there's no more time. There won't be any watchmakers in heaven. Or at least they won't be making watches. They may have been watchmakers here, but they'll lay that down. There's no watches and timepieces in heaven, for we're outside of time. But this was the state of Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night, expecting to discuss the things which are seen, wanting to discuss the miracles that Jesus did. No man can do these miracles except he be of God. This is what he was interested in, the things which are seen. But again, we see the desire on the part of those in the flesh to study the results of a world not seen, rather than to grasp that world, that eternal world that is beyond the senses. We want to see the results of those things, but we're not willing to grasp that world that is beyond the senses. So Jesus snatches the mind of Nicodemus. My, he did that often. He grabbed his mind and brings it to the absolute need for a divine transaction to take place in order to have eyes that are able to look on things eternal. You're blind without the new birth. You have not eyes to look on things which are eternal without the divine transaction that takes place in the new birth. And therefore, not yielding to the direction that Nicodemus desires the conversation to go, you know, if you're witnessing to someone, you'll be faced with diversions. You know, you'll say, you'll talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll talk about salvation, and then all of a sudden the discussion goes to who was Cain's wife? Or some strange question that you can't answer, but it's a diversion. But Jesus would not yield to that. And he looks Nicodemus straight in the eye and he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And in this new direction, Jesus takes Nicodemus to look at God's creation, that which is physical, to help explain that which is spiritual. You know, it's interesting. We think about the creation that God has made, and basically the creation is patterned after the heavens, after His realm, so that we have a physical connection to the spiritual, and therefore He can use the physical to explain that which is spiritual. A new direction of looking at that which is temporal to explain that which is eternal. Now, Christ did this throughout His teaching. You study the Bible and you'll see all of these connections with the physical to explain the spiritual. He did this in parables. He did this in stories. He did this throughout His ministry, so this is nothing new. So Jesus Christ brings Nicodemus to ponder the wind, for He says in. Now that word ponder doesn't mean to just sit there lazily, but it means to put your mind to work. Have you ever gone outside and pondered the wind? Ever gone outside and see the results of the wind? Have you looked at the leaves rustling in the trees, the clouds overhead? Oh, look at that. I see a picture of Mickey Mouse in the clouds. But Jesus Christ brings Nicodemus to ponder the wind, for He says in John 3:8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. So now He's beginning to teach Nicodemus, who has a ready ear. A seed is being planted in the heart of Nicodemus by the Word of God. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So here we see our blessed, our patient, our ever-teaching Lord Jesus, who made all things, including the forces of nature, use the nature of wind to describe one who is born of the Spirit. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Now, wind itself cannot be seen. I see the... No, you don't see the wind. Only you see the effects of wind. The effects of wind can be seen. When a tree moves, we hear sound whistle through the leaves. Wind is whistling through the leaves. We know by experience that the wind is acting upon the tree, for no tree of itself can shake its leaves. No tree can say, I'm going to shake my leaves. It just can't do it. It can think and think and think, pour more sap into the leaves and think, but he can't move the leaves of itself. Now, wind, of course, is merely the movement of air caused by the expansion and contraction of air molecules due to temperature changes. Now, we cannot see air, nor can we see air molecules, and therefore we cannot see wind. When the sun heats up the air, air molecules expand, and each molecule, requiring more space than previously, bumps into its neighboring molecule. So this molecule is warming up, and he's expanding. His elbows are going out, and he bumps another molecule, and he says, "Give me some space." And that molecule, "I need space too." And all these molecules, they bump into each other, they're expanding, and they all need space. And now you see the movement of molecules. And that movement is called wind. Great concentrated temperature changes occur in the warm waters near the equator. Now you think about, what is today, the 25th? What's happening in 6 days? Hurricane season. The air molecules are saying, "Oh, it's hurricane season coming. Pretty soon we've got to expand." "No," and Mrs. Hobbs says, "No, we don't want you." And we don't, do we? We've had enough of those air molecules expanding all over the place. Stay away. But temperature changes occur in the warm waters near the equator. It happens all the time. That sun moves and the temperature changes. The air molecules get ready to expand and contract. It heats up and rises rapidly, causing great air masses to move over the earth. Nothing happens by itself. Wind does not happen by itself. There takes place natural forces and natural laws. And this causes the movement of clouds and establishes weather patterns throughout the earth, which are generally predictable. We're pretty good at that these days, to predict where a hurricane's going to go after we see the patterns of it and the forces here and there, and we can kind of predict where they're going. But wind is not of itself. It listeth, which means that it leans or inclines toward a prescribed direction due to temperature differences or pressure differences. Wind is not haphazard. It doesn't decide haphazardly, but it follows laws that God has established. You know, it's so complex to us that sometimes we assume that the wind goes where it pleases. No, it doesn't. Jesus Christ made the wind, and he does not use word lightly. He uses the word listeth. Now, we use that word in nautical terms. You don't want to be on a ship that's listing. Well, not permanently. Ships list all the time, but they kind of come back upright, do they not? Now, a ship lists due to unbalanced weight in the hold, perhaps water shifted to one side. Oh, you don't want to do that. Those ferries that were overloaded, they said a lot of the people ran to one side. Well, what's going to happen? The ship's not going to decide to do what it's going to do by itself. The change of forces causes it to list. So a ship does not list in and of itself. Likewise, the wind does not go in a certain direction in and of itself. It follows natural laws in its course. So Jesus Christ is saying here that the new birth is of water and of the Spirit, and he equates the Spirit is like the wind. It reacts in response to the working of the water, and the water is the Word. Like the wind reacts in response to the temperature changes. So the Spirit reacts to the Word. The Spirit gives birth to those who have responded to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit does not act alone in the new birth. A man is born of water and of the Spirit, not of the Spirit only. The Spirit does not act apart from the Word, is what Jesus Christ is saying. As the wind does not act apart from the expansion of the molecules based upon the heat, so too the Spirit does not act alone. Now, the new birth is much like the pattern of the physical birth. Again, he relates spiritual things to physical things. Why? Because we live in the physical world. This is what we understand. The Word of God is sent forth by the Father to be planted in good soil. The Father is a husbandman. He is in the business of planting, and he uses the Word to plant. And from that planting, he gets a crop. And the Holy Spirit is the agent whereby the new person, the child of God, is brought forth. Isn't that wonderful? So, with our limitations, we can only see the effects of the new birth. We can't see the birth, we can only see the effects of the birth, just like we can only see the effects of the wind. We cannot see the wind, but we know it is there by what it affects. We see a tornado. We're thinking we're seeing wind. We're seeing the effects of the wind. We see the materials in the tornado, all of the things that the tornado has picked up. But we don't see the air. We don't see the molecules. We see the effect. So Jesus Christ is saying that the results of the Spirit should be just as much a proof of the fact that the Spirit exists as are the effects of the wind. You know, a lot of people, they say, I won't believe it unless I see it. Well, you can't see the wind. Do you believe there's no wind? Well, I see the effects of the wind. Well, do you see the effects of the Spirit? Look around you to see people that are born again. Why are they different? Why do they love one another? Why do they love others? What's different about them? They've been born of the Spirit. He is also saying that the Spirit works in mysterious ways, much like the wind. But those ways are not mysterious to God because the Spirit follows and honors God's Word and brings forth the fruit of the Word. What would Jesus say about the Spirit? He'll not speak of himself. He's not going to speak of himself. Oh, look at me, I'm the Spirit. No. He receives the Word, and from that there is a birth. Now, the Lord uses this analogy of the wind to the Spirit very wisely. We see that the Spirit is not answerable to human demands, neither is the wind. I think about these climate change folks. Now, the climate's always changing, is it not? I mean, you think about every year, every day is different. There is no day on earth that happened exactly like it happened in the past. This isn't. There's climate change all the time. And the climate change people say, well, it's people's fault. We'll do something about it. You can't. You can't. Can you do anything about the wind? Can you say, like Mrs. Hobbs said, hurricane, you're not coming in. You think hurricane's going to listen to you? Not going to listen to you. You can put your hand up all the time. Not going to listen to you. So the Spirit's not answerable to human demands, as the wind is not answerable to human demands. The Spirit's paths are mysterious, so is the wind. The Spirit is not seen, but his effects are so too the wind. Both can be sensed, and both have a great range of power. You know, the wind can blow gently. We like a gentle breeze, do we not? Oh, you can. We'll say, come on and have a gentle breeze. You love a gentle breeze in the heat of the summer, don't you? Sit on the porch and you're sweltering. You may turn on the fan and create a gentle breeze, but That old gentle breeze that the Lord gives, oh, what a wonderful taste that is. But it can also blow with gale force. It can bring rain, tempest, and storm. Or it can drive the clouds away, so too the Spirit. Now, Jesus clearly taught this, but Nicodemus was, I can use this word, flabbergasted. You ever been flabbergasted? It's not a good thing. But Nicodemus again was taken aback. And he said in verses 9 and 10, how can these things be? How can these things be? Oh, he was so defeated. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? That's heartbreaking to the Son of God to hear that his people don't know the Scriptures. So basically, Jesus replied as surprised. If the Son of God could be surprised, I don't know if Jesus ever expressed surprise. In the human form, perhaps he did. But he was surprised, if he could be surprised, in how a master of Israel could be astounded about these things. Nicodemus was ignorant of this fundamental and primary spiritual truth. This is fundamental. When Jesus uses the word must, this is fundamental. You've got to get over this must if you're going to understand anything spiritual. But Nicodemus was a natural man. And the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit. The natural man thinks in a natural way, and he has no capacity to rise above the physical. Now, look around you, study history, and see man's attempts to know God. Think about all the myths, all the legends that abound in the world, inventions of the natural man. Paul described these attempts in Romans 1:23. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. You know, it's an amazing thing, and you see it in our culture today, how people settle for the basest of things, the basest of appearance, for instance. I mean, can you get any more base than what you see today? I mean, breaks my heart to see people wasting themselves by what they choose. But here they've chosen to make an image of what they perceive as God, ignoring the uncorruptible God, and make an image like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Base things. I love that song that says, a higher plane that I have found. You know, when I study this book, I'm reaching for a higher plane. I want to go to a higher plane. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. But Christians who claim to be Christians also choose base things, do they not? But this is man's attempts to know God. They try to know God in the physical, and we're taught in the Scriptures that that can't be. God will not allow it. But you would think a ruler of Israel with the highest education available would understand spiritual things. I remember a friend asking me, how can you, as an educated, I think intelligent person, believe what you believe? Well, I've been born again. I can see things you can't see. I see things by faith. And all you do is see things by sight. You have not been let in the world I'm living in. But Nicodemus had taught the minute details of the Pharisaical legalism and all this learning and no understanding. What's the Bible say? Ever learning. And what? Never able to come to what? The knowledge of truth. You can't know it. You can go to all the colleges and universities that will teach you something about God, but you will not know God that way. For truth must be revealed, and God reveals it, what? Unto babes. What does he say? He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. How can you, as an educated, intelligent person, believe those things? He's confounding the wise. Jesus shows that the natural man, regardless of his standing or background or intelligence, must be given the key to the knowledge of spiritual things by God himself. So again, Nicodemus, what did I say? You must be born again. You must be given a new nature. You must be born from above. Now, to Nicodemus's credit, he asked, how can these things be? So he was seeking from Christ, admitting his ignorance. He asks questions. He wants to know. Doesn't seem to argue with Christ because of foolish pride. We see here the seed has been planted, the seed of the Word of God, which causes Nicodemus to seek light. We see that in later chapters of the book of John, that it appears that Nicodemus has indeed been born again. But Jesus Christ tells us by his question to Nicodemus to put no confidence in man. Here we see an example of a well-taught, educated person, a member of the Sanhedrin, trained in the highest theological school of his day, and he had no spiritual discernment. Our lesson is that even if a preacher has graduated with honors from a top theological school, that is no proof that he is a man taught of the Holy Spirit. No proof. The papers don't tell you truly. So we should not put dependence on human learning. Education is no guarantee of spiritual discernment. The test of any instruction is the Word of God. Now, we're told in the book of Acts that the Bereans, when they heard Paul, what did they do? They checked the Scriptures. You know, our pastor has told us, check the Scriptures. Put me to the test. When I'm preaching what I think is the Word of God, and you say, I don't think that's true, what do? Do you just gripe and moan and talk to someone else? No, you check the Scriptures. And then if you find out that he didn't preach the Word of God, you go to him and say, Pastor, I don't believe you preach the Word of God. Now, if he's the right kind of pastor, he'll say, well, show me. I want to know. I want to know the truth. And you show him and he says, praise the Lord. Thank you for showing me the truth. But we're to emulate the Bereans. We're to compare any teaching, any writing with God's Word and reject anything that does not match up with the Word of God. The same friend that asked me about my intelligence and questioned my intelligence said he didn't believe in the real Noah. That was just a legend. Why? Well, it doesn't fit with science. Well, now let's see. That's the natural man talking. The spiritual man says, science doesn't fit with the scriptures. There must be something wrong with science. But unless you believe, and we'll stop here, in the inspiration of the scriptures and the infallibility of the Word of God, you will fall for anything. You want to fall for anything? You know, you want to fall for some email from Nigeria that says, if you respond, you'll have $10 million because my husband's estate demanded that I find you and give you the money. Now, you're going to fall for that? Well, you might as well. You might as well if you don't believe this book. You must be born again, the Lord Jesus Christ says. And when he says must, you better get with it. You better get with it and get born again by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll get into that in coming verses as this conversation with Nicodemus is continued. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for your love to us, Lord. You've given us truth. By being born into the family of God, Father, we know the truth. And we can have that truth in our hearts, Father, to guide us and lead us throughout this life in the right way. And we know that it'll all come out right. And someday, Father, we'll be in your house. For in our Father's house are many mansions. And Lord, we look forward to living with you there. Now bless our pastor as he preaches to us this morning. We pray for the graduation ceremonies this afternoon that all things will go well. Bless Nathan Morales, Father, as he gives out the graduation message. Help him, Lord, to be able to give out truth to all these folks in the audience today. Bless us, Lord, as we go into our service, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.